Hey there, everybody. Welcome. Highfalutin Cubon Podcast number 57.
Boom.
57. That's a lot of podcasts. But yes, it is number 57. And it is your pals, Mario and Brian, together podcasting live and in person for the first time in a while. Mario, what's going on, man?
Not much. I like this. I like the in-person, the live in a semi-studio environment.
We're using our gear again.
Yeah.
This beautiful gear. So nice.
This is the way it was meant.
This is professional. This is what we're all about here. Very professional.
That's right.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You can get all of our info at skibumpodcast.com. You can send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. And please go to iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe, rate us. We would love that. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Mario, let's kick things off the way we always do.
Oh, yeah.
The music sounds so good live.
It does sound a lot better.
That crispy, crispy weekly flavor music.
So with the crispy weekly flavor music and the live event and somebody's birthday is around the corner here.
Indubitably.
I'm actually celebrating with a little sip of sunshine today.
Ah, sip of sunshine.
Good old favorite, Lawson's Finest. Like it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Anybody that's listened to us before, this is an ultimate, one of the best IPAs.
It's probably like
there.
The fifth or sixth time we've... Yeah. Profiled the Sip of Sunshine on the podcast because it is just that good.
And if you're just listening for the first time, this
welcome.
Is welcome. And this
how
is
are you?
this is a very hard to get IPA. So we had to sneak it. I sneak
we crossed,
it in my ass.
We crossed state lines.
We crossed state lines with it.
With the beer in my ass.
in my ass. So we had to find it, and that was when we did our beer hunt.
Yeah.
Last ski bum week. So.
As hard as it is to find, it is becoming slightly less complicated these days. We have friends popping up in Philly, New York City, that they're finding it on draft in certain places. So
yes.
It is nice that it is starting to move its way southward.
They turned us on into a few good beers, so I'm going to have to check them out.
I do hope they're not diluting the brand at all, and they're not messing around and screwing with their ingredients. But so far, it's still pretty goddamn good.
Still pretty good. How about you, Brian? What are you drinking today?
Well... I'm going on the other side of the United States for my beer. I am drinking a Ballast Point Brewing Company Pineapple Sculpin, also known as pineapple, which is an India pale ale with natural pineapple flavors. It's quite delicious.
Or pineapple to the layman.
Pineapples, as we call it in my country club. But yeah, if you have not tried any of these Sculpin beers, you're missing out because they are quite scrumptious.
That pineapple's good.
The pineapple's good. I am concerned about Ballast Point recently being sold to a shady liquor distributor. So I don't know how I foresee Ballast Point's future, but their past and their present are still quite grand.
Might have a pineapple malt liquor coming out soon. I don't know.
Ooh,
you never know.
You never know. But yeah, this is a... tasty, tasty beverage.
Make a Ballast Point Incredible Hulks pretty soon.
Ooh.
Coming to a store near you.
Incredible Hulks.
They can it.
Yeah, we've been talking about having those on the podcast for a while now. We really got to make that happen.
Yeah.
Was it Hennessy and Hypnotic, right?
I think we should make it with Four Locos.
We have that can of Four Locos from last somebody's
make
birthday.
Make our own. We'll step it up. We'll crunk it
up. Well, it's watermelon.
Oh, even better.
It's watermelon Four Loco.
It's like the summertime. It's the time for watermelon.
Summer, summer, summertime.
We might have to do a weekly flavor for the second half of the podcast.
Second weekly flavor?
Second weekly flavor.
The bi-podcastly weekly flavor?
The retake.
I like it. All right. So that wraps up the weekly flavor for the week. Let's hop right into the ski news.
Time for a little ski news.
Honky tonky. All right. So... first up, this is from our good friends at the Unofficial Network's 2017 Winter Weather Forecast Long Range Prediction from NOAA. So we've talked about it in the past already, and it looks like there was, I think at our last time we've reported on it, there was a 75% chance of a La Nina occurring. There's a typo. It says La Nino.
I saw that. I was like, yeah, that's
come on, Unofficial Networks. You are better than this.
Is it El Nino? La Nina? What is it? You're mixing it up.
Well, the copy says La Nino, but the photograph says La Nina.
It's like a hermaphrodite storm coming at you.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Are we ready for Hermaphrostorm?
It's like Sharknado with hermaphroditic storms.
Hermaphricane? Is that like a hurricane?
Hermaphricane. That's the next show. Hermaphricane.
Hey, yo, Hermaphricane! Come here!
Yeah. No, Hermaphricane.
So they're saying La Nina conditions are 75% chance of occurring, and they are now getting a little more. I guess they're profiling the forecast for the entire winter now more. And they're saying temperatures cold, northern plains, upper Midwest, New England, New York, and West Coast.
Nice.
Warm, southern plains and southeast. Precipitation, this is an important one, Pacific Northwest. Bitterroots, which is western Montana and Idaho, parts of the Ohio Valley and the Tennessee Valley.
Hmm.
Here's dry. This is what you need to know. Dry, southern plains, Gulf and southeast, including Florida, SoCal, desert southwest. So it looks like Taos is not the place to go this year. But if you're going anywhere, Whistler, anywhere in BC, Oregon, Washington, it could be another epic year. That's
gonna
what
have
it
to
looks
watch.
Like.
You're yeah. have to watch that forecast.
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be cold and wet, Pacific Northwest and the Northeast. So for us in the Northeast, after having a complete shit show aborted ski season last year, we may be getting our payback, which would be so beautiful and lovely. But again, well, it's still pretty early. It's still only July.
Pay us back in sweet pow.
Sweet cherry pow. Oh, yeah. So we'll keep you guys posted as we get more stories and things get closer to ski season.
And following on along with the weather, we're at start of July here, July 9th, and snow is coming from Montana, Idaho, Wyoming this weekend. So they're saying by Sunday.
Because we are weekending.
We are weekending. So they're saying by Sunday there's going to be a little snow that hits Northern Rockies, looking to get some later this weekend. They're talking Tetons, Yellowstone, and Glacier. So if you want a boot pack, you want to hike, you might be able to get a few runs in. Who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I don't know how much is going to snow, but...
But you know what? It is snowing. So it's a beautiful thing. They've just... They're definitely getting their fair share out there this year.
Yeah.
Quite jealous. They're getting more snow in July than I think we saw in January and February.
Yeah, we had a big cock meat sandwich. It was horrible.
Yeah, you know, no mustard, nothing. You know, a little bit of cock meat mayonnaise. It's about it.
Oh, it was just bad.
Force-fed to us.
Brutal.
Nothing you can do, right? All right, next up. Fact. Survey says summer sports are only 50% as fun as skiing / snowboarding.
I could have told you that.
I mean, what? Playing Ultimate Frisbee? That's supposed to be more fun than skiing?
I think it depends what sport you compare it to, right? What did they use?
Golf?
Yeah, golf is...
Fishing? It's all good if you're drunk, but it's not something you can actually do and enjoy. Am I right? Baseball?
Our buddy John went to... He went on a fishing trip for a whole week last week, just got back. He said all he did was drink the whole time. Trying to get him out on the bike now. I'm like, come on, fatty, let's get on the bike. We're going tomorrow. We're going to ride like 40 miles. I'm like, we'll see how... He has been working out, though. He's like, I think he stopped drinking for a while.
Come on, dumpster boy. Let's go.
Dumpster boy.
Yeah, so this survey was completed by the Southwest Colorado Mountain College in Durango. They polled 500 residents in 30 mountain towns across the U.S., and the overwhelming majority of those people expressed a bias towards sliding on snow over a variety of summer sports.
It's so cold out, I don't want to go out.
The survey's summer sports included kayaking, climbing, hiking, mountain biking, fishing, co-ed softball, and trail running. But how many of those would you go, you know, it looks hot out, I'm not going to do it?
You know, with a lot of those, though, like, how many people are going to do it every day? When you ski a board, you'll go out every day.
That's what you're there for. You know you only have 5 days to do it. You're going to go do it.
That's right. And you do it for, you know, 6-7 hours a day.
I mean, you can punt on running every single day. You're like, I'll wait. I'll do it another day.
Or you run for an hour, and that's it. You know, half hour, something
like
that.
And you're done.
You're done.
You're like, oh, that was not fun, but I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, winter and skiing wins over everything else.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
All right, so next we have a follow-up on J-Peak. I sought this out. It's an update. It's a total shit show, but I think there's some hope on the horizon.
Is there light
at the end
of the proverbial shit show tunnel?
That's what we're hoping. Looks like they're going to be open. Actually, our home-based ski club is they're doing a trip there in February this year. So we're also hoping, for other reasons, because I want to get on that trip, that they're going to be open.
Yeah.
But so two things are going on. So with the EB-5 investment thing they got caught with, that's basically where immigrant investors invest money and they get a, you know, a green card.
Wait, so are you trying to say that Jay Peake supports ISIS?
So I'm not saying that.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just trying to clarify for all the listeners. We are not NOT saying that Jay Peake supports ISIS.
Okay.
Because they do not.
They do not.
Rumors.
Anti-ISIS.
All rumors.
Bad rumors. So because they stopped all the projects, like, they're wondering now, like, hey, my green card's set to expire. Like, do I have to leave the country? Do I stay? So they haven't answered them. So they're kind of worried, but I don't know. Like, they were kind of victims of the whole Ponzi scheme thing, too. So it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen.
So this isn't, like, employees there, is it? This is actual investors.
Investors. So the investors invested at least $500,000 and created at least 10 jobs with the projects that they invested, and that's where they get the benefit of having a green card. So now that they stopped the projects and everything blew up, who knows? But
so is it one of those things too that the folks who contributed the most amount of money are the ones who still have the green cards, and those who contributed the least amount do not get them?
That's how it usually works. But
well, you know what?
I think
the cards are green for a reason.
That's right. Yeah, I think they're all waiting. That's the thing, because they all expire on the same date.
300 of the 700 foreign investors in JP have received permanent residency status.
Yeah.
So I guess they paid enough green for their green card.
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah.
And then there's another story on Jay Peake. So they're saying despite troubles, Jay Peake's growth was good for business. So they were talking about how, like, you know, all the stuff that they put in with this Ponzi scheme, if you think about it.
Alleged Ponzi scheme.
Helped the town grow. And they're saying right now it's kind of in a lull because everything came to a halt. They're afraid that people are going to stop going up there. Of course, because they hear the bad publicity, but you know, they're saying the economic impact of where they've gone with it. I guess they're trying to shed light on the good part, the good stuff that's happened, even though it was illegally handled. So it grew a lot, and they're just hoping, like, you know, the whole article was just talking about how they hope it rebounds and it does have a promising future. So
yes, and then summertime used to be a ghost town, but now they actually have a lot of things going on there. Golf courses, weddings, hockey tournaments.
Yeah.
They have a Porsche Club of America, Porsche Parade in June.
Yeah. They actually said, so this guy, Michael Goldberg, is overseeing the operations in the meantime. They put the resort, what do they call it? Receivership. Basically, he's like the acting owner of it. And he said he plans to sell the resort as soon as possible. So that's where people are speculating. They're saying, look, if somebody comes in, swoops in, and buys the resort, that it'll be a gold mine for them.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of... Everybody's hoping that somebody comes in, buy them, maybe one of the big conglomerates that's growing, maybe one of the local people. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
If I hit the Powerball this week, which I did, and I checked my tickets last night,
did
I would
anybody
have
win?
Somebody won in Indiana. One person.
Indiana.
Indiana, if you're out there, you're listening, you want to be part of the podcast, please contact us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll be able to, you know, work something out.
Help you out. A lot of big skiers in Indiana.
Exactly.
A lot of nice mountains there.
There will be.
There will be. We'll make them. We'll help you. Help you set that up.
We'll help you buy Jay Peake and run it.
Help you buy Jay Peake. Yeah.
But, so that's, we'll see what happens with Jay Peake. We'll keep our eyes and ears open on that.
Keeping our fingers crossed. Yeah, we always talk about going up there every single year, and then we always find a way not to do it. So,
yeah,
hopefully.
Well, last year was just a bad year too.
I don't want to talk about last year. There wasn't a last year. I look forward. We look forward. We don't look back.
Looking forward. That's right.
All right. So that wraps up ski news for the summer.
All the time that is now.
It is time for our main topic.
So, Brian, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about planning for the plan.
Planning for the plan.
Planning for the plan. So this time of year, you know, we're talking about early July at this point, not a lot of people are starting to think about skiing. A lot of people are going down on vacations. They're going all over the place. They're frolicking at the beach. They're thinking about getting their tan on. They're thinking about getting some margaritas. You know? Wonderful things.
But thinking they're not, about... They're complaining about how hot it is outside, but yet they always say, oh, I don't like this, the snow time, you know, the winter time. It's too cold.
Yeah.
I just told him to move, is what I said. Yeah. Go move to Florida.
That's possible, too. But yeah, so this time of year, You know, not a lot of people have their minds on skiing. But your pals here, the Highfalutin Ski Bums, our minds are always on skiing.
Always.
So, for you fine folks who are listening, this time of year is a veritable treasure trove of ski deals. If you are looking for any sort of gear, get on your horse and make some purchases now, because now is the time. Right now, yeah. It's that the only people who are actually skiing are skiing in South America or Australia, which we didn't even talk about in our ski news because this hasn't been.
And
this
we want to be there too.
We definitely do. But you've already got, you know, you're buying your gear down there, but up in North America, all of the online shops, they're having their blowout deals on last season's gear.
And so, we know personally because we've been looking at stuff. We just made some purchases.
We've been partaking in the deals, yes. Yeah, so we know for a fact that there are good deals to be had.
Getting our backcountry gear already.
Oh, indeed we are. So, yeah, so this right now, there's pretty much a small window between now and Labor Day. Maybe even the week before Labor Day.
I would say if you get to Labor Day, that's when you're pressed.
Yeah, because that's when everyone goes from, I'm hanging at the beach, oh my God, I'm frolicking, I'm paddleboarding, I'm doing this, to boom, winter is coming, I got to plan all my ski trips.
That's right. Once I know this around here especially because so many people go do their beach houses that once the beach houses end, like mm-hmm. Labor Day weekend, it's like a mad dash, like everybody's setting up. Already they start with, okay, who's doing what ski house? You know, and it's like a mad dash to get in on stuff and make plans and reservations and stuff too. So it's kind of
before the first pumpkin spice latte is even served, people are planning their winters. It's true.
Pumpkins coming earlier every year.
I think
they have a pumpkin latte out there now.
But you know what? Also, you also have more leftover pumpkin beers now in January because no one wants. There's just too much.
Too much. A surplus of pumpkin.
There's just an overload.
Would you say there's a plethora of pumpkin beers?
A cornucopia.
Yes, Don Guapo, I would say.
Of pumpkin beers.
Yeah, there's a cornucopia.
And there's so many bad ones. And there's so few good ones.
I'm surprised at how many bad ones there are.
A lot of bad ones.
Like the fruit beers now in the summer are big. And there are bad ones, but there are a lot of good ones, I got to say.
They are.
There's more good than bad. Pumpkin?
What's your favorite fruity beer?
I'm a big fan of that pineapple sculpin.
Pineapple sculpin. I wouldn't even call that a summer beer, though. I mean, it's a fruity beer, but it's not really a summer beer.
I call it a summer beer because I like IPAs. I like the Festina Peche. Mm-hmm. That one I like certain times I don't like it. It's kind of, I go back and forth with that. The Dogfish Head.
We did last weekend, we did the Leinenkugel, the Summer Shandy, the variety pack.
Yeah.
And usually I'm kind of a purist. I like the regular, like standard lemon one. But the pack had the lemon, the grapefruit, which is a little bit tartar. They had the watermelon and the ginger.
Watermelon's big this year. Everybody's doing watermelon.
Watermelon is very hot right now.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone's got watermelon.
If I was betting in fruit beer, it would be watermelon-based.
If there was a stock market for beer, watermelon would be bull run right now.
Go long on watermelon.
Grapefruit had its run a couple years ago.
Blue Horseshoe's going long on watermelon.
Blue Horseshoe going long watermelon. Yeah, what are watermelon futures at right now on the commodities exchange?
Actually, we're in the middle of summer. I imagine they're probably going down.
Frozen concentrated watermelon.
They could have watermelons on the exchange, right?
I wouldn't see why not.
Gonna have to look that up.
Someone's investing in watermelon.
Buy. We gotta sell my watermelons. I hear you talking out there.
Right. So.
Oh wow, it's starting to rain now.
Oh boy.
Let's see. So. Oh. Yeah. The other thing. So we were talking already about like some trips. Our ski club came out with like some pre-advice about where they're gonna go.
I'd say they were teases.
They're little teases. We already started reaching out to other clubs that we might go with and friends. Just start planning the days that you might have by the end of the year and what you're planning for next year, because you got to know who's in, who's out.
This is where you know where you have true friends or not, is if they can make plans now for skiing and they can keep them.
Yes. I would suggest, though, make your plans and then tell people, well, if you can't decide now, we'll try to add you on the trip, because they will fuck you in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And they might not mean to, but it just happens.
Listen, when you're planning a ski trip, it's like the goddamn Titanic. Either they're on the rafts, or you leave them to die.
Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to go. Yeah, I know you'd love to go, but is there a good probability that you're going to go? Because I don't want to start making all these plans. So.
It's like Goodfellas. Fuck you, pay me.
There you go.
If you have the money, it's like, I know you're talking, you want to go on this trip, but, oh, I don't have the money, and there's this, and there's
always
that.
Always get
and
deposits.
Blah, blah.
Always get people to chip in for, like, money up front. Cause it's,
fuck you, pay me. That's how these trips work. You don't want some broke-ass friends who's saying they're going to be in, and then they don't have the money to do it because then you're going to be sponsoring them.
You ask them for the money, and they're like, oh, I can't go. I don't have the money. Like, you knew this shit like three months ago.
It's like raising your girlfriend's kid.
There you go.
You don't want to be doing that. You know what?
No,
I didn't sign up for this.
I ain't a baby dad.
I didn't sign up for this. So that's the key. Know who your friends are. Know you're not hanging out with some broke-ass basic bitches. Make sure you got friends who can follow through on their promises and who will be joining you on a beautiful, excellent adventure that you will have memories of for the rest of your lives.
It's not show friends. It's show business.
Joe, it's, it's nothing personal. It's just business.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely so. I mean, it's a big thing looking at, like, especially for the end of this year, I have limited vacation, so I'm, like, trying to make sure I can schedule that vacation and do a little skiing. So, and then you have a buddy, Nick.
Our pal Nick. We've talked about him many times before. We need to get him on the podcast. He would be an ideal third for us. So. But yeah, he's we're talking to him. We're talking about some backcountry gear, and we're talking about getting some trips planned.
And he does a ton of backcountry. So.
He's a bad motherfucker, that's for sure.
I want to look into, he mentioned some camps, maybe do a little backcountry camp.
Yeah.
A little campy camp.
Steep and deep.
Rolling the new year with a little camp, and then start hitting it hard. But I think this year, I'm not too keen on some of the trips that I heard announced, so I'm kind of like, I'm thinking one and maybe do our own thing. Or
yeah, well, we're at a point too where, you know, we have enough, actually with this podcast and with our connections, we have enough people that we know and we can reach out to that we can make our own trips happen.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going renegade a lot more because we just feel like we can create a better trip that we initiate, that we coordinate, than that they can provide for us.
Well, a different schedule too. I like going midweek. You and I could, like, we're both in jobs where we can kind of work remote, so I'll work remote a day or two.
We're some script flippers.
I'll flip the script.
That's what we do. We know how,
be in town.
We do things better. So
what do I do on my rest day? I'll burn a day of work.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Where you don't burn a day, a vacation day.
That's
true. Day of work.
Yeah.
I'm resting up anyway.
Yeah, so we're going to start, you know, thinking about how we're going to handle our season, our plans, and our trips, and hopefully, you know, I could definitely see us in the next couple of years putting together highfalutin ski trips where we have, you know, maybe 3 or 4 a year, small group of like 10 people. So maybe, you know, we have 4 for our VIPs, and then we have maybe 4 spots available for others to join. And we'll go to dope places, we'll do dope things, have dope meals, drink dope booze, and
not like the regular run-of-the-mill trip. It'd be kind of crazy stuff.
Way crazy.
Yeah.
Like taking pot brownies and jumping out of an airplane and landing on skis.
That could happen too. Stuff like that. Safe, safe though.
It's going to be like the Cannabex Games.
Cannabex Games.
A little bit like a weed X Games combination.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Yeah.
Based out of Colorado, maybe. Okay. Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And we got some of those fun stories to talk about cannabis in the Around the Horn segment, but I think we're going to just finish up this section first before we get into that. So I know we're talking about deals. If you can find skis, boots, gear, anything now, this is your best shot at getting the best deal. Because the new stuff isn't quite out yet, and the old stuff is discounted. So whatever you need, recapping.
I think it's important, to look at the schedules of everything. Because people are going to have, like, you know, your local ski shop is going to have a ski swap in a certain month. So start looking for the date that that's going to happen. Look for the sales right now, which are going to be limited quantity, which we found out.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. If there is something that you know you want, strike while the iron is hot. If you see it available, there could be 1 or 2 left.
Yeah.
So if you see it and you know you want it, do not hesitate. Buy. Get it now.
I'll give a perfect example. I bought my Beacon. Nice little Mammut Beacon. It was the last one, or second to last one. They had one left. I'm texting Brian. I'm texting the gearhead there at the place, and they're asking if they could hold it. Like, no, it just went. I'm like, what are the freaking chances? Like,
yeah,
somebody waiting
crazy
for the last one to
striking while the iron is hot.
Yeah,
so you got to do it.
But yeah, there's that. Yeah, like I said, the ski swaps, they're gonna come up quick. They always have tent sales, like crap like that's going
to
come out.
That stuff right after Labor Day, it all starts to kind of come to fruition really quickly.
So get your money ready, because you got to be ready to throw it down.
That's right. Make hay while the sun is up. Do some work now. Get some money created in the summertime. If you're a man, whore yourself. If you're a woman, whore yourself. You can make some money now. There's paper to be processed.
That's right.
Put it in your pillowcase and get ready for those ski deals.
And we'll hook you up with some advice on the new stuff when it comes out. Because we have some ideas on some of the new stuff. Like, You looked at the one thing recently, right? The backpack?
Yeah, the new Arc'teryx battery-powered Avalanche.
Looks sweet and dope, and it's probably going to come out for this fall.
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of new cool gear out, so we'll look at that. And that's the new stuff, and you get it early, you might be able to get a deal on some of that, too.
Nope. Full price, son.
Full price.
You're paying full price.
That's right.
So, yeah, so we'll talk about that as it gets a little bit closer. But now, if you see it, it's on sale, buy it. That about, I think, pretty much wraps up our main segment. Yeah. There it is. You know it.
Snow.
You love it. It is time for Around Le Horn.
Around the horn, baby.
Yes, around the horn.
All right, Brian, first up, we got something that you is close to your heart.
So lately,
I know this is your baby right here.
Lately, we have been talking a great deal about cannabis. And we went to the
Expo.
Cannabis Business Expo a few weeks ago.
Cannabis Business.
We were official press for that, which was lovely. Big shout out to everyone that we talked to there, Oaksterdam. And
we got a few emails
edibles.
We got to respond to.
We sure do. A lot of things are happening for us. We're happy you're along on this journey with us. So first off, this past week, California, may have heard of it, they are officially putting on the initiative on the ballot this year to legalize recreational pot use in the great state of California.
So that's November 8th.
It's November 8th, yes. They received over 600,000 signatures on a petition that was turned in. That includes former Facebook president Sean Parker and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. So they think that, I think they, I'm not looking for the stat, it's not in this article, but I think they said unofficially about 60% of adults are for legalization. So it's got a really, really good shot. I mean, California was also the first state to have medical back in 96.
Yeah.
So it's amazing it's taken this long and other states have actually usurped them and done it first.
Usurpers.
The usurper. But it's looking like California is going to make
state,
it happen.
There's one state that I heard of recently. They were talking about passing something to block the federal law, making it illegal.
You know what? There is talk of marijuana being changing the scheduling from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2.
Right.
And they said that would make it testable so that they could actually, you know, run different experiments and test at universities and research facilities to try to find some sort of medical usage. But the problem is that would kind of throw a wrench into the legalization in other states because it's federal over state.
Yeah.
So there are, people are concerned that that would shut down all those dispensaries and all those business inroads that have already happened in the legalized states, especially Colorado.
It sucks. They just got to make it federally legal, leave it up to states.
That's one thing.
That's happening anyway.
If President Obama wanted to leave on a positive note and actually have some sort of positive legacy, that's the one thing he could do.
I would really
one stroke of a pen.
That's right.
Legalize cannabis.
I would say thanks, Obama, federally. And actually mean it.
Yeah, he could make that happen. He has the power. But we'll see what he does in his rest of his lame duck presidency. So, other again, more cannabis news. Marijuana task force to be led by former Deputy Prime Minister Anne McClellan. This is up in Canada, our good folks up north. Their government, they elected Justin Trudeau last year in Canada to be their new prime minister. And they are looking to legalize marijuana in the country, federally legalize it in 2017. So they have named Anne McClellan, who's a former deputy prime minister, and has served as the health and justice minister.
They have a task force. I don't see one person from the Wu-Tang Clan on it, so I don't know what's going on with this.
Well, there is talk that the GZA may make the... He may be on the list of people.
What I actually thought was interesting about, they're actually saying they want to push for this because they see the potential for revenue coming in. And it's basically like saying, hey, let's get in first and screw you, U.S.
Well, yeah, I mean, think how many trips people would be making, you know, up to Canada if it was federally legal and people could just go and walk into the store and buy it.
Clock is ticking, Obama. Calling you out.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get, I mean, there's so many positives and so few negatives. I mean, you're eliminating cartel money that they're going to keep making until they legalize it. The amount of tax revenue that is brought in, I mean, Colorado has made more money in cannabis tax revenue than alcohol crazy. Tax revenue.
Well, they also mentioned being able to control the quality of what people are growing and what people are getting, which is it's a huge thing.
It's very huge, yeah.
You know, you don't know if they're getting crap.
Things aren't laced with things or things are impure. Yeah, and it goes into that another story that we have that I'm trying to find, but we don't seem to have it in our show notes, but we will have it on the website. There was a story that came out on Fox Business about how after they did a study, and after you smoke cannabis, the way your value system towards money reacts is differently. Oh, you know what? It is right here, and I just completely missed it. So it says that it changes your response to money. And in the survey they did at the University of Michigan, they studied 108 people in their early 20s. And when they scanned the brains of the participants three times over the course of a four-year study, they said that they had them click a button when they saw a target appear on the screen. And they did it before, you know, they said, like, depending on how well they performed, they could win money or lose money or have no reward. And they wanted to see how the brain would react, you know, with this different reward system and how much dopamine was pushed out. And they said that the those more frequently using marijuana showed weaker brain responses to the amount either gained or lost monetarily.
So less dopamine. So dopamine controls how the rush you get out of stuff, right? So
yeah. Wow. So you're saying that you're not going to get that, you know, almost like nervous kind of crazy, greedy feeling after you smoke cannabis than you would without it.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of fascinating. Cause say you're, you know, worried about you're paying your student loans back or, you know, you're being crippled by your finances. Smoke a little weed.
Hey, man, let's just order pizza.
And just order pizza and not worry about it. So, I mean, there's definitely positives and negatives to this study.
Yeah.
But I think it's amazing, though, that this is a naturally occurring plant and it has that capability. Oh, boy. Something's blowing up here.
Well, it inhibits your dopamine and your attitude while you've smoked it, right? Or this is, they're saying, people that smoke it chronically.
Yeah, if you're a more frequent smoker, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we have a couple other stories, but the one, couple other...
Dude, that
positives.
Game thing, I love. I want to play
the game. Is cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a game called Hemp Inc. And we found this on...
Dude, I'm a big Farmville dude. I would play the shit out of this thing.
This is like Weedville.
Yeah, it is.
Is pretty much what they're saying. What it allows you to do is to pretty much set up a... like it's almost like a SimCity kind of game or a Farmville. And you can build your own little virtual empire with marijuana.
It's awesome.
Which is pretty cool, yeah.
And actually said the guy, one of the guys that helped develop Call of Duty is helping develop it. And they say it plays a little bit like Farmville. So I'm like, God damn, that's going to be good. I got to try that out. I guess it must be, I'll look at the article. I think it's free, right?
It's a freemium app. So, I mean, there's probably in-app purchases you can make.
Just like Farmville.
Yeah. So I guess you can get it. Now, does it say where you can actually play it? Is it on, you know, like a Android or iPhone?
Probably on your phone or computer, kind of like the war games they have now, you know.
Buy it in the app store.
Exactly.
Like one of those kind of games, yeah. With Arnold.
Where you just have to keep feeding it, like, you know,
a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there.
Before you know it, they got $200 a year.
They actually have Wiz Khalifa is in it. Tommy Chong is in it.
Awesome.
Yeah. They actually have real celebrities that are in the game, which is pretty funny.
That's pretty cool.
So there was that. And there's also, this was a cool study, cannabinoids have been found to remove plaque-forming Alzheimer's proteins in brain cells.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get the proper description of a cannabinoid. That's pretty much, is it the protein or it's the chemical compound that is in cannabis that when it enters your system, I mean, in this particular study, it removes plaque-forming proteins that cause Alzheimer's in your brain.
That's great.
I mean, that's unbelievable. You know,
it's incredible.
Cannabis is currently listed as a Schedule I quote-unquote drug, which means it has zero medical benefit, which is complete lunacy. We've talked about it before. Richard Nixon, what an complete asshole douchebag he was.
It's ridiculous.
And how he used marijuana as to vilify the entire kind of hippie anti-war protests in the 60s, since they couldn't arrest him for being anti-war protesters. They just took their drug of choice and made that illegal so they could lock them up. But this is amazing. This is from the Salk Institute, I believe. Yeah, they're a research facility in California who came up with these studies and this evidence. And it's fascinating to read about.
That's a huge breakthrough for people with Alzheimer's. It's a horrible disease.
Yeah, it's just debilitating. To see something that naturally occurs that can actually help this out is pretty amazing.
When you get to like Alzheimer's or cancer or some of these diseases that are just so hard to treat, anything that helps, you know what? Don't throw it out, because it's definitely should investigate more in it.
Yeah. And we have one more cannabis story for the week. I know there's a lot of them this week. A lot of stuff came up.
So a lot of people are getting into the whole biz, you know?
Yeah, it's true. You know, a lot of people from all different walks of life, including the, what would you call him? The disgraced cyclist?
Yeah, you know what? I think every cyclist and professional cycling has been disgraced at one point in their life. Mm-hmm. He was disgraced, and he was a whistleblower on Lance Armstrong, which I think he was a pussy because they were all doping anyway.
Yeah.
But he got he did some crazy climb in the Pyrenees when he got caught. That was like, oh my God, the guy like, you know, blew everybody away, and then he got caught with like huge amounts of testosterone. And that's where he was the one that was doing the whole twin that was in him, that was producing testosterone.
Oh, that was him?
That was him.
Oh my God.
It was the Phantom Twin or whatever. He had this whole crazy thing. But anyway, he's moving on with his life, which is good.
Yeah, Floyd Landis. He has announced that he is involved in a new business. They create topical creams laced with active ingredients of weed aimed at athletes. And they're calling it Floyd's of Leadville or Leadville. Which is interesting.
Yeah, he's doing it with David Zabriskie, who's another... he was never disgraced, from what I understand. He's another, like, top biker.
Yeah.
Cyclist, yeah, sorry.
The article, it's on Wired, it talks about... Landis has said that he's been using oils and creams laced with cannabidiol.
Cannabinoids? Cannabidol?
Cannabidol. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Cannabidol.
The main chemical compound of weed to ease the pain from a hip he had replaced in 2006.
Yeah.
Cannabidol, in some forms, has shown some evidence of relieving pain and inflammation associated with arthritis and cancer, according to federal officials.
Inflammation is huge. It's like one of the causes for most diseases.
Now, not to be confused with tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, which is the compound responsible for marijuana's mind-altering effects.
Right.
Yeah.
So that little vape that I have today,
mm-hmm.
that's... cannabidol. There's no THC in that.
Exactly.
Safe to buy in this state because weed's not legal, but
yeah. That's
where you get the benefit. There's actually, and the article even has in there, they talk about Baltimore Raven tackle Eugene Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the NFL to look at pot as an alternative to opioid pain relievers because so many NFL pro players get hooked on the opioids.
Did he get dropped from the Ravens for saying that?
He got dropped because of that, but...
Cowards.
A lot of other people are coming out now in the league because, you know, this is their business. And mm-hmm. I think this is also one of the reasons that some of these younger guys are actually retiring. They're like, I made enough money. I'm not going to get the brain trauma.
I'm not going to get addicted to, you know, oxycodone or something and, you know, mess up your whole life with that.
Yeah, so there's a lot to be looked at with the whole marijuana.
Yeah.
And not even just the getting high. It's the medical properties of it. That's what everybody's looking at.
Mm-hmm. And people are starting to finally realize that there are those medical benefits, which is, you know, bringing it into light and putting it in a much more positive spin. I just remember as a kid, you know, it was always thought of as just for losers and for bums. And
you can ruin your life if you smoke it.
It's a gateway drug and all this bullshit.
I honestly don't even want to smoke it. I'd rather eat it or drink it.
Yeah.
It's fine with me.
Vape it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or CBD oil. Just put it in stuff.
Yeah. Rectally. Occasionally.
Rectally.
Yeah.
Only for enjoyment.
Happy International Women's Day.
I don't really have to, but I like it. All right. Next.
All right, what do we got?
Next we got, okay, so there's a lot of big talk about driverless cars now. Everybody's talking about Apple and Google and what's going to be the next
Tesla
thing.
Tesla and all their
Tesla
their issues last couple of weeks with people.
So driverless cars, I think people are at a point where people know they're coming, but this story, CNN ran a story. Driverless cars create a safety dilemma, passengers versus pedestrians. So they actually put a crazy scenario. So you're flying down the highway, and there's basically, I'll sum it up. There's a barricade, and you're going to get into an accident because there's a car in front of you. So what happens? There's actually pedestrians and a barricade. So you're either going to crash the car or hit the pedestrians. Well, what do you do? So the computer knows like what's going to happen. So somebody has to program this scenario. What happens? Do you crash into the wall and kill the passengers, or do you run over the pedestrians and kill the pedestrians? So it's a crazy thing if you think about it. But you know, if you work with computers or logical code, you have to program logically. Well, what's going to happen?
A or B. If A, then B.
So it's bringing up this whole conversation now of, do you do it? What's for the greater good? Now, how do you know? You know, it's just crazy.
Wouldn't it be funny if we get to a point where it actually analyzes, it can detect who the person is?
That's what I'm saying.
Tap into some sort of master NSA database and analyze, well, this person does this job and they have this skills and they have these children and they're worth keeping alive versus this person who...
It's like an insurance adjuster. Like alive, like what's going to be the payout? Or
it's like Fight Club where they go to the scene of the accident and they determine, you know, what's the cost going to be if we, you know...
Was that an actuary? Insurance actuary?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. What's the value versus paying this person off, paying the family off, or...
So they actually did a survey. They said 76% responded that it's more moral for the driverless vehicle to sacrifice one passenger rather than 10 for the greater good. However, 81% said they would rather own a car that protected them and their family member at all costs.
There you go.
So there's one of people with the moral dilemma, and then one of people of, I'm going to spend my money on the car that protects me.
Yeah.
So
I wonder too if it'll get to a point where you have a setting in your car, almost like in your phone. Like, do you want to have your Wi-Fi, your Bluetooth on and off? You know? Yeah. Damn the torpedoes, like take out everybody.
Death race mode.
Keep the inside.
What happens if a deer jumps in front of you? How does it know it's a deer or a person? Mm. Some people would say it's a deer. You should die. Save the animal.
But squirrels.
Squirrels. That's it.
Varmint.
Just saying. Yeah. How do you know? So it's just some object in front of you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy. I thought that was interesting with the... Because as a programmer, it's like, wow, you got to program what happens in this scenario.
That's crazy, yeah.
Do I think I could run through and be okay, or do I think I have to stop? Like,
what's the bone density of the human that's in front of the car? Yeah. Assess the damage to the car versus the...
Yeah. That's crazy. And then, like you said, then it gets the facial recognition. They're wanted. Just run them over.
Yeah.
They're escaped from prison. Run them over.
Potential ISIS member. That's run them over, yeah.
Boom.
Man, that's and then too, is it, who is that on? Is it on the programmer then? Or
well, I guess
is
that's
the project manager or the company? Like where does the line of blame go to?
Well, that's what's coming up now. So think about it. You get in an accident with a driverless car. They're going to go back to the manufacturer and say, well, your car got into the accident and I'm going to sue the car company now. Now they don't get sued unless there's a defect with a car. It's driver fault. Driver should have been. Now the company is driving the car. Which is pretty crazy.
The lawyers pretty much goddamn win either way.
Well, I think they're looking at like something's got to happen with the maybe they have to do finally tort reform.
Oh.
God forbed.
Let's get retorted.
Retorted. Getting retorted in here.
I'm getting retorted.
Bunch of wicked, retorted people.
Huh. All right, anything else on that?
No.
All right, next up. Now, for all our beer fans out there, the new Alchemist Brewery has opened in Stowe.
Boom.
Yes, indeed. They opened up, I think it was July 1st or June 30th was the first day they were open.
Oh, we got to go out there, dude.
100 Cottage Club Road in Stowe, Vermont. They have opened it up, finally.
I should have gone up to Vermont this weekend.
You should have gone there. You could have been a contender.
Damn it. I thought it was still waiting to open.
Yeah, they're opening a brand new facility. And they're saying that you can pretty much walk up. If you get there any time of day, you can pretty much get beer.
Boom. And not just any beer. What do they have there?
Any beer. What they're saying is they're going to keep brewing Heady Topper at their original brewery. But now at this new brewery, they can produce Focal Banger. Which was originally only available to purchase at restaurants. But now you can go there and buy four packs.
That's the one that bangs your focus, right? You can't focus on stuff after?
Your focal ops. Yeah, you get a focalopsomy, I think. Focalopsomy? Focaloscomy.
Focaloscomy.
Focaloscomy. And they have another one called Crusher, which is a double IPA.
Crusher.
So yeah, they're finally open to the public. You can go there, get your Hetty Topper, get some beers, hang out. They have a picnic area. And they're still building and growing, so it's awesome that it's finally open. And now, I mean, you're going right down the street from one of the best mountains on the East Coast.
Yeah. They say it's a quick hop from Stowe, right?
It's right down the mountain road.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
super I actually close. Thought it was interesting. They said that they do all these things to, like, not let the beer smell out of the brewery.
Oh, really?
Because they said, like, they didn't want to offend anybody. Because Stowe's a little bit of a... They're trying to get a little prestige. Mm. And I guess they put all these things into this brewery to make sure that it didn't piss anybody off.
That's crazy.
Which I thought was nice of them to do, but I'm like, it is a brewery.
Yeah, they're saying, so this the new brewery will mostly make and pour Focal Banger. The cannery in Waterbury is still going to handle the Hetty Topper load, although there will be plenty of silver cans at the Stowe retail space. Brewery output will break down to about 2/3 Focal Banger and 1/3 whatever John Kimmick, who's the main, the genius of Alchemist, and his brewers fancy at any time. So they do special small casks. They do, you know, short runs. Last Friday they were brewing Crusher. So, you know, nice. Whatever they feel like making is 1/3 of their capacity. That is kind of a wild card.
I got to say, the Focal Banger's good. It's like a milder version of Hetty.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, so if you're up in Stowe, grab some Hetty Tuapas. And we saw on
Hetty Tuapa
on Facebook, and we retweeted, or I'm sorry, on Twitter, and we retweeted it, that they have a cheese available there that one of the local dairies makes with Hetty Topper.
Damn.
It's a cheddar cheese with Hetty Topper. It's called Cheddy Tuapa.
Cheddy Tuapa. Wow, I guess it's like a blue cheese almost, or a wine cheese. Or
it's a cheddar.
Cheddar.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Wow. All right, so getting back to travel. I'm into the travel mode these days. Clip Air. So this is how pod planes could change travel forever. So this Swiss Federal Polytechnic Institute came up with some designs, and they're actually going to do a prototype. I think it's a drone prototype that they're going to do. But basically the idea is the whole when you fly on an airplane, the entire airplane gets delayed because – you know, engine trouble, whatever, but the passengers are in that one area that they don't have to be sitting on the tarmac or whatever. So this whole idea is basically make like a whole wing, and then they attach the pods of the fuselage underneath. So they could put like 3 fuselages underneath, pack them in. One, you know, you could have 2 different airlines that are flying with their fuselages attached, and then maybe a cargo in the middle. And you could fly all 3 from the same route. So now you're sharing one route from, let's say, New York to L.A. and multiple carriers. So it's like a cool concept financially.
That's crazy.
If you look online at the pictures, it looks pretty wild. But it's like a big wing.
God, that looks ridiculous.
And the pods attach. So it's like a fuselage for an airplane attaches right underneath it.
Oh, yes. It's like a giant other plane. And there's just the fuselages attached underneath it.
It's like a mama plane with the little baby fuselages.
Whoa.
But think about the combos. You could have 3 different carriers. You could have American Airlines, United, and, you know, Qantas. I don't know. Something under there. They just chuck the pods on. They load you. You know, you could show up to the airport, and now you don't even have a place to wait. You could just go right onto your pod, and then they roll that out and attach it to the fuselage.
That is so cool.
And then if you're running late, if your carrier's running late, they could attach another one and still take off on time. Just that one's late. It's a lot of different combinations that could make it really cool for air travel.
Yeah. It's always funny with travel how when you look back 100 years and you look how people did travel, you're like, that seems so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with something like this. We're going to look at the way we travel now by plane as just so antiquated in, you know, a few short decades.
I think it'd make air travel better because now it's more like a bus. It's like a real Airbus. So, yeah, it's pretty neat.
That's so cool. So Clip Air, it's called.
Clip Air.
Yeah.
Yeah, but interested to see. Definitely has a lot of good financial possibilities. I see that going somewhere. Go long, Clip Air.
Go long, Clip Air, yeah. Invest now. Get on the ground floor. All right. Last
the,
up.
Oh, yeah, the Nike one.
Ah, Nike. That's right. We got Nike. Olympics are coming up. When do they start? Pretty soon, right?
I think next week, right?
Yeah.
It's close.
So Nike has announced that their track and field athletes will be getting a couple of new tech innovations to give them a bit of an edge over their rivals. The first one is adhesive tape with silicone-based spikes called aeroblades that runners will be instructed to wear on various parts of their bodies, depending on the event, to help cut wind resistance or aerodynamic drag.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
You know that's going to be used for skiing.
Pretty much.
Because skiing, you're moving a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But that's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's like this funky, these adhesives they put on the different parts of their bodies, yeah.
It looks a little weird. It looks creepy, like
something like robot armor or something, robot skin.
Yeah, or like fly skin or something. It's weird.
Yeah. The next innovation are new sunglasses called the Nike Wing that are meant to cut through the wind, ensuring the ensuring a performance enhancer and not a hindrance. So Nike used a single piece of glass without hinges to let air through. And the lenses only let red light through, which provides a calming effect to the runner. But company officials say the glasses weigh 4 grams less than traditional eyewear. And then the last innovation is a breathable adhesive race bib called the AeroSwift bib, which with a peel back that can be stuck directly onto the uniform.
That's a great idea.
That's really cool, yeah.
Well, they talk about the ridiculousness of having this all streamlined suit, and then you take clothespin, safety pins, and you're pinning the bib on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. And these have all been approved by the International Olympic Committee, so they're all legit, good to go. And we'll see them all in a week or so down in Rio.
I guess they developed it for the U.S. Olympic team, but they opened it up that it is available to everybody. That's, I guess, why it's kind of fair.
Yeah, they spent all like you said, they spent all this time developing the aerodynamic uniforms, and they pin on the bibs with safety pins that were invented in 1849.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's so not aerodynamic either.
I know, seriously, right?
I could see this helping skiing out though. You're talking downhill skiing. I mean, every little, more so than running. I mean, these runners run pretty fast, but
they're not going 80 miles an hour though.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You know. Especially that tape. I'm interested to see if everybody's going to have that tape. It's kind of like Kerry Walsh, volleyball.
Yeah, she has the shoulders.
What do they call that? The
compression or?
Kinesio tape.
Kinesio, okay.
And everybody used that now.
Yeah.
So I remember when that first came out, I was like, oh, that looks pretty strange, but
yeah,
that's pretty cool. All right, last up we got, did you ever want to sail around the world? Well, anybody from any walk of life, any country can. It's got a pony up a bunch of cash. There is this, I actually saw a TV show on this and then I looked it up, but there's this company, clipperaroundtheworld.com, and basically what they do is every year they sail around the world and you can actually apply to get on and then join the team. So you apply to get on. If they accept you, you have to go to a mandatory training. It's like a week-long training in the UK. That costs you £5,500, which whatever the conversion is.
Just for training, huh?
Just for training, and you got to do it in England. You go through the training, they try to get you, I guess not just physically fit, but also start teaching you some of the stuff you need to know about sailing. And then if you pass the training, you can sail on one or all of the legs that they have. They have 8 legs. It goes literally around the world, and some of these legs are like, I think the shortest one I saw was like 16 days. So you're at sea 16 days, and you're sailing in a race. It's not like you're just lounging around. You're sailing in rough seas, racing these other people. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty cool. It's definitely something, if you talk about YOLO, this is definitely you only live once kind of stuff. And what they do is they have these boats are like real racing boats. They're like racing yachts. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty cool if you're into sailing or anything like that.
40,000 nautical mile race around the world on a 70-foot ocean racing yacht.
It's nuts, right? And they're already, like, if you wanted to get into the race for next year, they're already stacking up people.
Yeah, 2017, 2018.
Yeah. So, but think about it. You can go, like, you could do all the legs, and it basically goes almost a complete year you're out at sea. It's like 200-something days, right?
Like, who are the kind of people who even do this?
You got to take a... That's where you take your...
sabbatical?
Leave of absence or sabbatical if you have one.
Yeah.
You know, just say, yeah, I'm not getting paid. I already paid up front. I'm sailing.
Clip around the world.
So...
Very cool.
Even one leg, you still got to take off like a month.
Seriously.
I mean...
But why would you do a month? You got to stick it out to the end. You got to do the whole thing. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's pretty cool, though. Like, they have one leg that goes around the U.S. Then they have, you know, now you're going to, like, Europe. Then you're going to South America. Then you're going to Africa. Then you're going to Australia. Then it goes up to China. Then you come back to the U.S. So it's like any of those legs, like, you're in that place. It's amazing.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But how long are you at the port for?
I don't know. You got to start. If you're doing the one leg, you could start a day or two early.
Yeah.
Sightsee and stuff and, you know, get sick and then get on the boat.
There you go. Perfect.
Get food poisoning, then get on the boat, you know. But it looks pretty cool. So when I hit the lottery, this is another thing that's on my list.
Perfect.
Then again, I'll have my own boat.
Powerball.
I'll have the pirate boat that races them and just beats them just because I can.
You could do that. You could have a submarine, too.
Submarine them.
So, like, live in a submarine. Sounds like a terrible life.
That's terrible.
All right. Anything else we got?
The yellow submarine.
Anybody? Anything? Nothing?
I think we're good.
All right. I guess that wraps it up then.
Time to watch UFC now.
Time to watch UFC 200. It's a big one. Yeah.
We were distracted today thinking about UFC.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We love you. Check us out. SkiBumPodcast.com. SkiBum.com. What is it? SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast. Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast.
Stitcher. Twitter.
Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. Subscribe on Stitcher. Subscribe on iTunes.
Snapchat.
Rate us. Love us.
We're on Snapchat.
Snapchat, probably. We're there.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
I'm trying to get us onto iHeartRadio.
Perfect.
Still working on it.
We're everywhere. Okay. So thank you guys again. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Stay high, stay falutin.
See you.